Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 285. The whole band is back together again. Glacinator has returned. John is here as usual, and so am I. So, but still, Glacinator, go ahead and tell the folks hello, since I did that a little
Yes,
different.
hello. I'm back from my journey, my quest to nowhere.
And John's here too.
Hey, everybody. What is happening?
What's the weather doing there, John? We'll do a little weather pod since I haven't asked you in a couple weeks.
Bit of snow. The reprieve we had last week is now over. It came back in spades. We got another 25 centimeters or so, I think, on Tuesday, and a little bit more today. So more to come on the weekend, I think.
This is probably the first five consecutive days we've had since December, maybe even Thanksgiving, that it has not rained. Now, of course, it's not going to stop the epic for anywhere between 3 to 27 year drought, depending on which politician is trying to shove legislation nobody wants up your left nostril. And in some cases, and then by doing so, overshadowing legislation we actually need. But it is perfect for the agricultural community. From where I'm at to the Central Valley, also known as the SF area, it's not Northern California, idiots, look at a map, to, you know, the southern half of the state. But it's been nice to have 5 days of sun. I don't dislike the rain, but it's been nice to have 5 days of clear weather. And fairly warm, too. Unseasonably warm, I would say. Yeah. And, of course, and then there's Glacinator, who lives in Louisiana. It's pretty much the same thing every week.
It was hot today. I wore shorts and did yard work.
I could actually wear shorts right at the moment. Like, it's just warm enough that I'm kind of getting a little uncomfortable in pants. But then again, I hate being hot. So, it hits, let's see. I think, what's 30 degrees to you, John? Is that trending warm or warm warm? I know what higher than that is.
30 degrees?
Yeah, 30 C.
Oh, that's nearly unattainable where I am.
Okay. So I'd probably say it's in the mid-20s. I'm doing this, so I don't have to look it up.
Yeah. It would have to be a hot, hot, hot day in late July for it to hit 30.
Yeah, it's not quite that here. It's about 70 Fahrenheit, Glace, is what it's been here. 70, 75. And that doesn't happen in February, usually. It's worked out nice, though, because the ground does need to dry up a bit before we get any more rain from good old El Nino. Okay, so covering last week's stuff, we've done a little weather podcast. I wanted to.
Oh, well, by the way, talking about last week, I just want to say it, because I listened to the podcast driving back. The movie or the documentary you were talking about with the Superman stuff, that was Freakonomics.
Thank you. Wow.
It was bothering me. I was listening to it the whole way back, and I was like, no, it's this. Why don't you just say what it is? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I think it's this, it's this, this. I'm like, no, it's this. But
that's like the I think it was also covered in a history one I was watching that wasn't. I have seen Freakonomics, but it was also covered. The one I was thinking of last week, Glace, was a history of the KKK or something like that, or the history of getting rid of the KKK, or I forget. It was on Netflix. I have seen Freakonomics, you're right, it's also in there. That's probably a better nerd version, or probably better for nerds to watch if you haven't seen it. But the one I was thinking of was History Channel or Smithsonian or something, too. But you're absolutely right. Freakonomics would have been a good one to say last week. Do you do that? Because I do that in, like, when I'm watching Let's Plays and video games. Start yelling at the screen. No, if you do this.
Like, any false information. You're like, oh, I just don't know what it is. I'm just like, ah, I just want to tell you.
Yeah, I do that watching Let's Plays. The last one I can think of is I was watching Jack Frags play Ark, and this doofus random player fell down this hole in Ark Survival Vault, and I've fallen down the same damn hole. And they're trying to pull him out of there with a pterodon, and they're trying to knock him unconscious to see if they can get him, because there's a little tiny hole at the bottom, but it's basically a pit of death. It just was a really badly drawn landscape chunk. There's random holes in it. Apparently it's in two spots. Anyway, I'm just like, no, because when I fell in it, I was all by myself on the server, because Agent K had rented the server, and we had it open to the public, but nobody was on but me. I'm like, fuck, I can't get out of here. You know, if he was on, since he was the admin, he could have just teleported me to him. But anyway, so when I'm watching Jack Frank's video, I'm going, no, dudes, just have him log off and log back on. Your body moves just a little bit, and eventually you can wiggle out of that hole, which is because it's what I did. I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one that does that. I do that with, like, radio interviews and stuff, too. Yeah, if I hear something that I know the answer to and they're not getting it. But something else concerning last week. The only reason I'm bringing this up, John, I know you were pretty firm on it and seemed like you were pretty confident in the answer, but I don't know if we seemed all that confident together. Deadpool is technically part of the X-Men universe. So I'm correcting the factual error if any of you thought I'd made the error, much like Glacinator's talking about. I still don't care. That's what it comes down to. I don't care. That is things that people use to split hairs and this and that. I don't give a shit. He got a movie. And it's getting decent reviews. I wouldn't call them stellar, but it's getting decent reviews. And I'm talking from the nerdverse. I think it's only at like 65 or 68 on Metacritic. But it's fucking Metacritic. You know, you got hardcore movie reviewers going in there that usually review Oscar picks. And they're trying to watch Deadpool. But I've seen a lot of nerds, the early nerd previews, I think Games Radar and good old Polygon, both been pretty favorable to it, which I'm happy about, you know, because, I mean, Ryan Reynolds worked pretty hard to get this made in the first place and seems pretty intent. Hello, dog. I forgot to shut my door. Oh, really? You want to hang out during the podcast? Okay. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I forgot to shut my door, and apparently my dog, she has decided she likes hanging out in here. Okay. The dog is gone. My apologies. I may just cut that out all entirely, although I like leaving her my gaffes in. Anyway, she's bumped the door on the way out. Way to go. We've been doing the show how long? This is the kind of professionalism I display. If she just laid under my desk, I'd have been fine. She slept under my desk while we've done this show numerous times. But anyway, but he also seems like he has a bunch of other, I wouldn't call them obscure, but probably not the top of the list to be made into movies that he's trying to get made over at Fox Pictures. So maybe they'll get it done. Which brings us to what I wasn't planning on talking about. But, well, no, it's not that I wasn't planning on talking about it. It's just I needed the nudge from John to push it over the edge because I lost my bloody mind earlier today. The latest Batfleck versus Grecian Formula 65 and tights versus Lex Luthor versus Wonder Woman versus my grandmother. Batman versus Superman, if you're not getting it through the sarcasm. The final trailer. Why do we need the word final? That's first question.
I think they were showing off the rest of the movie. They hadn't shown already.
Giving us the rest of the spoilers. I mean, yeah. Glacier about blew a fucking gasket over the one screenshot that gave away a pretty significant portion of the movie. Or, well, depending on your point of view. Jean, Glace and I kind of agree on this because we did talk about it a little before I hit the record button. What did you think of the final Batman versus Superman trailer? Until the Japanese one comes out and people post it on YouTube.
That's right. I thought it was fine. You know, maybe a little less frantic to spoil the entire plot. But it was, you know, it was probably better cut than the other ones, I guess. Like, it's a little more straightforward, I'll say that much. But I don't think it was enough for the hive mind to implode on itself.
You're up to bat, Glacinator. I'm just going to probably come back on from mute and go, I agree with everything Glacinator said, because I have a pretty good idea. He and I feel the exact same. Take it away, Glacinator.
I mean, like John said, it was better edited. It was a better music selection. But what was new, really? I mean, you had a few new intro shots, you know, with Batman beating up some guys. And there was like one more shot of Wonder Woman jumping really far. But other than that, it was all this. We've already seen all those shots before. I guess everyone's freaking out about watching Batman fight stuff. But I mean, like, we already knew that was like going to happen in the movie. Like,
it's a given.
Yeah.
Batman's fighting bad guys. What? No way.
No way.
I'm going to like this three times. What did you expect? I mean, it's a better trailer. I'm not going to lie. It's a better trailer, but it does not deserve this crazy freak out that everyone is giving it.
I almost think that the internet broke itself. Like, because I was seeing people who I know are intelligent, usually rational people going apeshit bonkers about this. And I guess they're just trying to build up hope, trying to find something to cling to. Because there's so many important superheroes to the nerdverse as a whole, especially Batman. The only thing that irritates me about it and why I have no interest in seeing this movie is that whole, if there's a 1% chance, and especially because Affleck delivers lines in such a just jackass way to me. If there's a 1% chance he's evil, then we gotta take him out. It's like, good lord, dude. Even Adam West was less fucking cheesy than that. It just was I'm not even blaming it on Affleck. And yes, I don't know the context to which it was said. But it's just a bad line, and it's gonna be a bad line in context, too. It's such a cheap plot ploy to move along why they're fighting. You could have done better, I'm thinking. And it's been in both trailers. And I'm just like, every time it's just like a 4-inch angle grinder on a chalkboard to me. I mean, just like, oh god. And you know what? The bottom line to me, hold on, I'm gonna back off of that. John, we've asked this with everyone, we're talking about it again. I was gonna build up an actual good rank because I'm feeling good this week and feeling in the mood, but I can't be bothered. It's obvious I'm out of touch with what is important to the internet and worth freaking out and not freaking out, because there's just been so many times in the end of 2015 and early 2016 where I'm just not getting it. Does this make you any more likely to see Batman? I know I've asked this question, but it's a consistency thing. It's a continuity thing. Asked it once, might as well ask it until the damn movie comes out.
Well, I'm still going to see it anyway. I'm fairly certain that's going to happen. But is it making me more likely? It hasn't got me chomping at the bit any harder. But I will say that if this had been the trailer that came out instead of the last trailer, and when the last trailer had so much stuff revealed from the film, I felt this might have made me feel better about the movie rather than the last one did. Like, the last one had so much stuff revealed and just confirmed my thoughts that there's way too much stuff crammed into this movie. This one felt a little less crammed. Taking on its own, it made it feel a little less crammed, but doesn't mean that it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, and I'm still not convinced. And I might be why I have less interest. I mean, I've done a whole what now? Year and a half of Ben Affleck jokes. It's really not him, although I think he's a poor choice for Batman. That's been my contention all along, but I don't care, really. It's just fun because I think it winds John up a little bit, and I like making fun of Affleck. I'm not going to make any bones about it, and I'm only stating that in case you haven't figured it out at this point. But they just don't. It just doesn't feel like there's any meat, and they've shown most of the meat. And I think that's along the lines of what you're talking about with cramming it in, but maybe depth. Maybe the word we're looking for, John, is it doesn't seem like there's going to be any depth to this movie with the amount of stuff they're trying to fit in to get on to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, no, no.
You know, and I don't need a lot of depth from comic book movies, obviously, but still, you're going to try and make me...
There's depth, and then there's coherency, right?
Yeah, cohesion. I don't think it has either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need depth, but I like to be able to have it make sense and not feel just, you know, bloated.
Yeah,
that's all I want.
I'm not a tool shed. I can keep up with like five to a dozen concurring plot points that are all meeting at the same time, but these feel more like bucket or bait plot mm-hmm. points, you know, just wriggling everywhere and they never tie together. Clay Snyder, as the diehard Batman fan here.
Mm-hmm.
any more interested or any less interested.
I mean, I said this before. I mean, I'm going to see this movie no matter what. I mean,
right.
Even if this movie is freaking terrible, I'm still going to see it. Like, if they release, like, another trailer the day before the movie comes out, and it's like Batman taking a dump, like, on a toilet, and it's like an art house movie, and it's like an hour and a half of that, I'm still going to see it. I probably won't like it. Maybe I will like it. I don't know. But there's literally nothing that can make me not want to see this.
I don't
want to see. I don't like admitting that, but it's the truth.
You've now put the image in my head of Affleck overacting trying to take a shit as Batman. I kind of want to see that movie.
I mean, he already makes enough grunting noises. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Did it seem like they're trying to make him like more, him and Alfred both, the more hobo versions of Batman and Alfred?
I don't know if maybe just more eccentric, but in the trailer he's like, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You don't look old at all. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, I was going to say the elderly type.
Yeah, more it's so. Like, even like, Alfred doesn't look old. It's like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that from you guys what you thought of the emphasis on his age. Like, I mean, it's one thing to tell a self-contained story that's kind of Dark Knight, you know, Dark Knight Returns esque, where Batman is old and grizzled and stuff. But like, why would you want to jump into the Justice League as a, you know, like a film series, you know, combining, because mm-hmm. this is being the jumping point, the start off point. Why would you want to already start with that, with Batman being calling himself old already?
Well, it's not even grizzled. It's like old folks home. Like it almost feels like there's a feebleness to it. Like Frank Miller's Batman is grizzled. You know, it's almost like Sin City. You know, the dudes in the first Sin City, they're beat to fuck. They've seen a few miles on them, but they're not feeble. I almost felt like Batman and Alfred should have walkers. Ah, remember that time at Joker? You know, it's like, it just really felt wrong to me for some reason. I don't know why.
They just don't look old to me.
Well, there is that other problem.
Like, that's like the main thing. Like, I don't know.
That's the other problem. Like, a little bit of stubble and some random streaks of gray hair dyed on both of them. I don't know. It just... They look like homeless people who won the lottery. I mean, that's... I just can't help it. I'm just doomed to ride this, ripping on the... And that's the thing. I'm sure that there's going to be some random person, or maybe somebody we know that has listened to all these that when the movie sells gazillions... Oh, look at that. That fuckhead McGee didn't know what he was talking about. I have no clue how this movie is going to do. And I frankly don't care. I hope it does well. For Batman's sake alone, even though I don't want to see a standalone film with fucking Affleck. Anybody. Go Michael Keaton. If you're going for the older route, let's bring Michael Keaton back out. Then John can prove me wrong once again. You know, and so I'd be much happier with that. I was going to go mean there, and then I decided not to. I'll give you both three. I'll give you both one guess which actor I was going to say next, just to crank you both up. He's more the size of the Penguin these days. Anyway, I don't... Maybe context will make everything fit, and it's going to work great. But these trailers, I think maybe that's it, guys. How's this sound to you? These trailers don't ask the right questions. Like, they're not teasers. They leave you with so many questions of how is this going to work? Whereas a good trailer just leaves you wanting more. And a lot of these Batman trailers have just left me going, what the fuck? Does that sound sort of right?
Yeah, pretty much.
They're filled with what's happening. Like, this goes back to why I was so frustrated with the last trailer, with the Wonder Woman reveal.
Right.
I mean, like, you knew that was going to happen, you know. If you're a fan of, you know, the Batman universe and DC universe, you know that's inevitable. But I mean, at the same time, you're like, okay, well, I still want to be like, I don't want to have it told to me right away. You know, I want to be surprised. Even if I'm not surprised, I want to pretend to be surprised. You know, I don't know. There's not really a lot left to the imagination left anymore with these trailers.
Well, it's not so much be surprised, I think, Glace, at least for me. It's if you're going to reveal somebody who everybody knows is going to be in there, but we still don't want confirmation of it until we've paid for overpriced seats and overpriced snacks. Make good use of it. They didn't do any good at teasing us to want to come see this movie by revealing her, which compounds the sin to me. If it'd been a good, oh, wow, I want to see what happens next involving all three of them, you know, like they're choking, like, you know, Batman's got Superman in a figure four and Wonder Woman's trying to choke him out, Hogan style, that would make you want to see the movie. Come on, but we'd all pay to see that. The way they did it is just like, look at us, we're super friends. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, all the trailers have been really on the nose.
Yeah.
Which I think goes back to what you were saying about that meeting scene. It's like, oh, here's Batman, here's Superman. Oh, what a fight this might be. I get the point. You know, it's like, I don't know.
I guess they're gambling that people who are not the three of us are going to just have it confirmed because people have no patience and no willingness to wait for anything. Have it confirmed that their favorite superhero is in here or villain. And so I'm going to go see it to see what they do with them. Either to rage on the social medias afterwards or to, you know, nerdgasm. I guess they're banking on that confirming all these people are in there is going to draw more than teasing that they're in there. And I personally, that is the wrong way to cut trailers. If you want to entice me to spend, if I go by myself, 25 bucks.
Quick question. Did either of you guys see the Super Bowl Batman Superman trailer?
Yeah. I watched the entire Super Bowl.
Yeah, I thought those two ad placements were really well done.
Yeah, and you know what the funnier thing was? Those two were done great, and that's how you should do a trailer. And so was the new X-Men trailer. I like that X-Men trailer. I'm not a big fan of the X-Men, but although I am a fan of Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. What the fuck's her name? Not doing that to be sexist. I can't think of her name. Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, yeah.
So I go watch her as Psylocke. Why not? Hey, I'm a dude. What do you want me to do? Whack off my willy and throw it in a fucking trash can? I mean, some shit I'm going to say. But anyway, for those of you out there that care about feminism issues, it appears none of our fucking presidential candidates do. Cheap shots. I got them. But anyway. But yeah, I thought all the movie trailers in the Super Bowl were great. They were better than 90% of the fucking commercials in the Super Bowl. For once.
They were so bad this year. Oh, man.
I'm pissed at Budweiser. Fuck Peyton Manning hawking them out at the end of the Super Bowl. You have a tried and true. Give me my goddamn Clydesdale commercial. And everybody ooh and ah, or hipsters trying to be tough men will fucking... By the way, also, too, if you haven't figured out at this point, I use hipsters as a catch-all term. There you go. But, you know, we're trying to be hard asses and talk about how it's pathetic that they're using the same commercial over and over again. It's been a winner for years, guys, and you have ad agencies that make creative commercials. Instead, you are a domestic beer company that has its place. And it's a place that sells a lot of freaking less-than-ideal quality beer. Yet you're trying to act like you're going to take on imports and microbreweries. Fuck off. No, you're not. You're Budweiser. I'll drink you when it's available. I don't have to pay for it. You know what I mean? It's not like I've never drank it, but at the same time, I'm not going to buy it over about a shit ton of other stuff I can think of when I want a beverage and I'm buying. But anyway, so there you go. We actually didn't talk about that nearly as long as I figured we would. Oh, next thing. Next thing. No, I've got plenty, believe me, because this was actually a decent week. Did you guys hear that Titanfall 2 is going to have single player, and they made fucking sure that it was everywhere?
I didn't hear that.
Well, you were in Oklahoma part of the time, so I'll give you credit. Oh, yes, every fucking blog known to man. Oh, Titanfall 2 is going to have single player. It's a leak. No, some asshole sent you a press release. Some asshole from Respawn sent you a press release, probably in bold font, size like 35, saying, put this down as a leak. It's going to have single player. It was literally a rumor and a leak on most of the blogs. I'm like, oh, I was beating my head on my desk. Well, people ask me why my desk, and I'll take a picture of it sometime, is all worn off here. It's because I go like this. I rub my hands when I'm frustrated and bang my head on my desk because I'm an idiot. And you know what? You know what's the saddest thing about this? I bitched and I bitched and I bitched at Titanfall for not having a single punch. I'm still not going to play it. And that makes me part of the problem. I mean, but outside of assholes like me, and thank the yord above that I am not that many, or there's no clones of me. Is this falling on a sword on their swords a good thing? And is it more likely to make you play the game, John?
Yeah,
because
it's probably just not my kind of game.
Right, but let's say. How do I put this? How do I phrase this? If it was your type of game, would you be more interested in giving them a look? Because they added something you thought they blew it on last time. Just look at it in general terms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I was really starving for that single player, maybe. I think Titanfall, the original, got pretty good reviews, I think. I mean, there may be a little bit more on the balance to take me one way or the other, but... you know, it kind of show. You know, it's going back on what and the way you were doing things before is kind of like, you know, kind of makes you sigh a little bit. But it's not. If I was interested, if it was the key ingredient that I was missing, then maybe. Considering that the first game was pretty good anyway.
Well, wait a minute. So you're actually thinking they shouldn't have gone back to adding a single player?
No, I don't mean that. I'm just talking about like falling on your own sword and taking back what, you know, the strategy that you thought was the right one, like going back on your word sort of thing. Like, it kind of has that kind of implication. I mean, if it gets into the table, that's fine. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I'm just, you know, I could see someone kind of snickering at them for not keeping with what the game plan was.
Well, here's the thing. I'll get to that, John. Just keep that fresh in your mind, because I think there's a specific reason this happened. Glacinator, are you more likely to play Titanfall 2 because it now is going to have a single player, supposedly? Excuse me, it's a rumor. Fucking hell.
I played the first one a little bit, like a year after it came out, and I mean, I wasn't even that crazy about it. So, I mean, it makes it slightly more appealing, but I mean, not by that much.
I think, John...
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with people baying, including me. I was part of the hive mind on this one, about stop trying to sell me a half a game for $50. This is purely sales driven. They think because it didn't have a single player, it sold less, or their overlords at EA do. And in reality, I can replace Titanfall with two games. Battlefield 4, not Hardline, which you can now pick up with all the DLC for about $20. And MechWarrior Online, which is free to play on Steam. Probably not for Mac, but for PC. And so it's like, why in the fuck do I want to spend $60? You know, they just didn't add enough to the table. You know, I talked to Pat quite a bit in messages on Facebook, our very own Patman, for those of you that have forgotten or don't know. And it... You know, if I'd had an Xbox One, if he was on quite a bit, or if Glace was on quite a bit, yeah, then it's kind of like what I do with Agent K and DJ Stu. You know, I'll buy a game with them because I know we're going to, you know, two playthroughs, we're going to have a lot of fun and laugh and giggle and make crude jokes, you know. So that might be worth the purchase price. I mean, it's probably the only thing that'll get me to buy The Division. You know, Ubisoft has been so vague about what The Division actually is, and it really doesn't sound like there's going to be a lot of longevity to that game, that I'm not all that interested. But if Agent K and Sue are having a blast with it, and they look like they're going to last at least a week at it, then I'll buy it. You know, because it's about playing with friends. But that game by itself, to me, it didn't do anything that I can't get elsewhere for a different price. Which disappoints me, because the guys at Respawn... They were part of, as I've said before, they were part of what kicked off the World War II franchise, both with the original Medal of Honor, Allied Assault, and the original COD, as Infinity Ward. You know, and so they've done a lot of groundbreaking stuff along with DICE back in the old days. And now they're just, it seems like they're treading water. And it's almost like they don't give a fuck. So I think that's part of my other problem with it, John, for me. Mm. Not only not the single player, but it's like all these guys get to break away and do their own thing. And they just do the same shit. Cliffy's doing it. Respawn, the guys behind Respawn did it. Hideo Kojima seems like he's doing the same fucking thing over time. It's like, there's already too many things that I can play that you're not giving me. You know, it was the same with Bungie and Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you're not going to put it out on PC, and that doesn't seem like a game I'm going to have a ton of fun with 6 months later. I mean, because I've only had evenings and my timeline my timing hasn't really worked out to hang out with Kay and Stu, I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 4 this week. That game came out in 2013. It's still a fucking riot. And especially since I've changed my attitude from I no longer care if I kill anything, I just try and score as many points as possible without ever killing anybody, among other things. Doing Mythbusters experiments with different weapons, gadgets, and vehicles. I'm not too loved on some of the servers I play on.
I'd say.
But... Well, I'll give you a quick example. On one server this week, and Glacinator knows this one well. On one server this week, in fact, last night, it was the server admin, also a member of the clan, and I, riding around in a little bird. He was flying the little bird, because I'm still not too great at flying helicopters. They did change the controls a wee bit in 4 from 3. That wasn't super great in 3. I am an engineer with a repair tool, and I repair, and all we did the entire round was capture flags by crashing the helicopter into them, i.e. landing next to them, and roadkill people. Now, roadkill is when you run over or squish somebody, but you can do it with a helicopter. You can land on them with the skids and squish them. And so we spent the entire round doing that. And, of course, I'm getting yelled at because the guy flying the helicopter is a server admin. And so the other players who were mad about us randomly falling out of the sky, squishing them. And if you time it right, you can keep the helicopter repaired enough that it doesn't explode. And so you can fly off and do it again. Go fly off, hide somewhere, repair it fully, and do it again. The only times I died is I got randomly shot out of it twice. But literally, I had no kills. This is the part that I want to hear Glacinator from. This is a record for me, dude. No kills, 3 deaths, 9,000 point score.
that's an engineer score already.
I should have took a screenshot. Dude, engineer nothing. I want to do it with all the kits now. I want to try doing it with a recon. Because, did you play 4 at all, Glaze?
I watched my brother play 4.
Okay, I don't remember if there were little birds in 3 or if they had this, but what happens now... is the Little Bird is a tiny little scout helicopter, for those of you who've never played any of the more recent Battlefields. And it has a chain gun on it to start, and then as you rank up, you can add weapons to it. Basically, it's just a rocket launcher is all you get to add as you rank up and unlock stuff. Because you rank up the vehicles now as well as your own dude. But you can carry like 3 or 4 guys on the skids, like Rainbow Six, you know, SEAL Team 6 style. Well, so you can actually shoot out of the side of the little bird, as well as repair the damn thing while it's flying. It's a riot. But my point, and I wasn't trying to get into what I've been playing or anything, my longer point is there's so many ways to have fun with games that are already out if you just change your attitude, especially me. I'm getting older. I'm getting slower. I cannot keep up with these Twitch kids. I get my ass kicked all the time, unless I'm sniping. Usually with sniping, I can do okay. It's just about having fun. Now, the playing squish 'em all is a bit trolling, I admit. But most of the time, I'm capturing flags. I'm repairing. I'm handing out med kits. I'm handing out, you know, ammo. But, so, I mean, while I'm happy that Respawn's kind of falling on their sword at the same time, John, I think you kind of got the right of it. That are you doing it because you truly listen to your audience, or are you doing it because sales sucked and you're hoping that it's... that it helps sales.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say it's the help sales.
I think so too. It sold pretty well. That's the other thing.
I think it sold well, but it didn't have the longevity. I think in terms of like player retention, you know. Look, I think once the hype train was done, it was done.
I think you're right, but isn't that Glacinator the publisher's fault? I mean, how can anybody conceivably think they're going to outsell either COD or Battlefield, who doesn't sell as well as COD, but still sells bazillions, on their first go? It seemed like Bungie had that same attitude with Destiny, and Respawn had it with Titanfall, and you're not going to do that first time out of the gate unless you've got something extraordinary, are you, Glaze?
No, I mean, and they offered less content, too. I mean, maybe not Destiny, but I mean, definitely with Titanfall.
Well, and I gotta say, I played through the single-player campaign of Battlefield 4. It was improved over 3. Is it still, you know, it was like you were talking about, where I was giving you a little bit of shit about it. You know, it's pretty much hard-boiled action movie story. But it felt more fluid. It felt less cheap. Although I think I did complain about a couple different things that seemed, you know, the set pieces were a little bit over the top. It felt way, way better than 3's did. And so, I mean, and that made me happy, because like I've always said, I was able to play through it. I got used to the guns. I got used to the movement again. You know, I got used to how everything works in Battlefield. And then I went on and played multiplayer with Agent K. Now I play by myself or with a couple other guys I've got on my Origin game list. So, I don't know. We'll see. Okay, here's one that I wonder if John saw. Actually, you too, Glaze. Did you guys see that for a few hours last weekend, Red Dead Redemption was backwards compatible? You could get a hold of a backwards compatible copy of Red Dead Redemption on Xbox One.
What?
It's long gone, sayonara now. It was a testing fuck-up.
I have a question about the backwards compatibility thing. I'm just not certain exactly how that works. So you can that means you can play your 360 disc on your Xbox One?
Is that all that means? And I'm not 1,000% sure if anybody that's listening to the show wants to actually type on a keyboard for 2.5 seconds. I know how difficult that is in this hurry world. Maybe somebody out there can explain it to us better, because I didn't care because I don't want an Xbox One. But if you read if you scan through this article while I'm babbling away, John, it sounds like they check your library.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a copy installed on your hard drive, or if you have this or you have that, then you can download it again. Or, if you didn't have it, Microsoft will sell it to you at a reasonable price. It's all digital, is essentially what you're looking at.
Okay.
And so sorry, Gillies, go ahead.
Oh, I guess you're still talking about... Could you play the whole game?
If you got it done before they yoinked it, I think.
Or is it still... It looks like it says it was still in testing.
Yeah, it was.
If so, I would love to play that, because that game had the best glitches.
Oh, are you saying the Rockstar Glitch Engine Plus would have been even funnier?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's the other thing I've been doing in Battlefield, looking for Easter eggs and glitches, because DICE still hasn't patched some of them out 4 years later. There's nothing like being shot 5,000 feet into the air without dying when somebody places C4 under your ATV on your own team, not an enemy. And then you can bail off at, like, the ceiling height and drift down. It was a glitch. DICE never fixed it. But Glacinator's got the right of it. I would like to have gotten a hold of a testing copy, because I bet there were some new... You know, like, I don't know, John, you played Red Dead, because we played it together that one time.
Yeah, it's really good.
Did you ever see the mountain lion, people, or any of the mule people?
Or the bird people?
Yeah, the bird people were the best.
No, I don't think so. I didn't notice a whole lot of glitching, I don't think. Unless
Since you really like the game, you'd be well served if you get 5 minutes to go grab or go look up on YouTube Red Dead Redemption glitches. Because I saw the bird people and a mountain lion guy. And the mountain lion guy basically attacks you like a mountain lion, except he's a dude.
Yeah, what would happen is the character models get replaced by the animal models. So right. The rigs will just go onto the animal rigs. So the mountain lion person, he's like halfway in the ground, but he still makes mountain lion noises, and he like gallops. it's kind of terrifying.
Oh, and leaps at you. I got actually attacked by one of those. Obviously, I didn't have the right equipment back then, so I couldn't record on my 360. But yeah, they actually leap. He came leaping off a rock at me, and I'm like, is this a bandit? Is this like a random bandit encounter? And then I'm hearing mountain lion noises. I'm like, what the fuck? And like Glaze said, it's still the skin or texture of the human model, but it's the rig of the mountain lion. So you're like only seeing half the guy.
Right.
It was like, okay.
Wow.
It's pretty funny how you have that moment of surprise, and then once you realize it is, we should probably really be getting upset and taking them to the task for it, but they're so damn funny, you don't even get upset. You just go, wow, that's a really funny glitch. And then somebody records it and puts it on YouTube, and everybody has a big chuckle about it.
I'm not sure to the experience for me.
Well, it's not a game breaker, I think, is the biggest thing there.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as game glitches go, I don't know if I've ever had a really funny one that springs to mind immediately. I mean, I've had instances where I, you know, fell through the floor or walked through a wall and couldn't get out. I mean, that happened in a few of the Prince of Persia games, I remember, but and Assassin's Creed, but I don't remember any really funny ones. Like, I've seen Assassin's Creed ones where, like, the skin was not on their face, and just the eyeballs were hovering there, and their teeth.
That was the most recent. Not the most recent, but the one, Unity, I think.
Was it? Yeah.
Not the one set in London, but the one just before that.
But I can't think of any that I've really had something really funny happen. I don't think, anyway.
The ones you see a lot in Battlefield, and I think we saw a few in 3 and Bad Company 2, guys, if I remember right, is the ragdoll physics. It's not Rockstar ragdoll, but sometimes under the right conditions, like you get hit at 1,000 miles an hour by somebody trying to roadkill you, your body just all of a sudden gets launched into space. Happens in Arma 2.
And Bad Company 2?
Yeah, Bad Company 2, 3, 4 does it too.
Yeah, especially with the destruction in that game, when the houses would fall down, weird things could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... They changed the... 3 and 2 and Bad Company 2 had the full-on frostbite destruction. They changed it in 4 to where it's called Levolution, kind of. Where stuff destructs, but it's kind of set up to be more controllable. You can't just pancake a house on somebody as easily as you could in Bad Company 2, which was a lot of fun till it happened to you. And it did happen to me a few times. But... Yeah, the glitches you're talking about in the old days, and I think that's why we get in such a panic about them the older you are, John, is because back then they just broke the game. Now, a lot of the ones in Fallout, GTA 5, Battlefield 4, Red Dead Redemption, there are still game-breaking ones in that, but they don't seem to happen to the bulk of players. It seems to be the bulk of ones you see are these funny ones like this bird people glitch that Glaze posted on YouTube. And you can go, or posted in the chat. And you can go find the ones with the lion people and the donkey people. And the best one I saw, though, was in the Night of the Living Dead or whatever they called it, where the guy got attacked by a zombie mountain lion. And he was just freaking out.
I've had a few minutes saying that. Not lately now, but the Undead Nightmare.
Didn't we play isn't that technically what we played? No, we just did missions in multiplayer. I bought Undead Nightmare not long after we played together when we were on that fucking
crap. I think we might have done one night of Undead Nightmare. Because remember, it was like tower defense. There was like rounds with the zombies, and you had to like defend the church.
I think that was just you and me, Glaze. I don't know if John was there for that. But
no, I wasn't, no.
Yeah, you're talking about that church outside the main town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you and I doing that, and we needed more people. Two of us was not enough.
I'm always up for Red Dead. That's the best game of the last generation for me.
As far as longevity and the amount of fun I had with it, both single player and multiplayer, you're absolutely right. I'm still fangirlish over fanboyish. I do not discriminate over Enslaved, obviously. But that was more an experience for a solo play. Would be my favorite of last generation, but yeah.
That bird guy's hilarious. He's even flapping his arms.
Yep, and little feathers come out. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that video shows it, but there's one. You remember the big cliffs as you're heading to the railroad town? I'm trying to think of the name of that town. It's where you meet the woman that you're trying to help out in the big old two-story house.
Oh, and like the ranch?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Place. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You like, head out of the main town, you're
farm or something, or...
huh?
I know what you're talking about.
I've seen there is a bird people glitch video on YouTube where one of the bird people tries to jump off one of those big old cliffs and fails miserably. While you're watching that, John, did you see where? And I knew it. And now that I click on it again, they've updated it with the retraction. Here's the story. Ubisoft earlier this week said that they deliberately kept the PC version of The Division in check with consoles. And I went, oh, Jesus. Here we go. The 1080p, 4K, 60fps PC Master Race kids are just going to fucking light you up. Like the Lunar New Year, Ubisoft. Well, if you click on the link, the first paragraph now in this Destructoid story is an update where Ubisoft does the waffle dance. They were just, I understood what they were trying to get at, but you can't, there's already, everything is a port now. Oh, everything got ported from the Xbox, PC, PS4. Nobody's building for the PC anymore. Oh, it's horrible. Not understanding that they're on the same architecture and the games are still made on PC and or Mac. Even though Mac can't play half the ones it's making or making models for. And it's just, it's becoming a clusterfuck and Ubisoft didn't help themselves. But I just wanted to quickly bring that one up to point out to Ubisoft once again that you really need to read your press releases before you put them out there or news blurbs. Huh?
A little bit, yeah.
You can't say that. I don't care if they're right. And I don't, because I play predominantly on PC anymore, and probably will continue, I don't give a fuck. If the game's not broken and looks pretty good, I'll probably play it. But you have to think in terms of the Kangaroo Court of Public Opinion. And the little 12-year-olds that stole mommy and daddy's credit card to buy, you know, an NVIDIA Titan $1,000 video card are going to flip out. Even though they can't fucking tell the difference between ugly and good if it bit them in the ass. But yeah, The Division's one of those games. Ubisoft's been such a bunch of fuckheads about it. I told Agent K today I'm probably really not going to buy it because I just don't care. It just... Well, it sounds like they said it would be a full player versus environment experience, and now it's starting to leak out, slowly ooze out would be a better term. That, yeah, you might get 15 to 25 hours doing PBE co-op missions with your buddies, but if you really want to get to the end game, you have to head to the Dark Zone, which is a great name for a zone where you're going to get ganked by PvP assholes all day long. And if I want to do that, I'm going to go do it in something that is a little bigger than a zone. I'll go do it in an MMO, or I'll go play Ark, or I'll go play something else that's a lot cheaper. Okay, one other thing, and I think it's the pretty much the last thing I got. Game trailer shut down this week.
Yeah.
Did you use it at all, John? What was your thoughts on game trailer shutting down?
I can't honestly say I used it a lot in recent times, but when, you know, back when I was heavily, you know, checking out various news sites and reviews and stuff, yeah, I went to game trailers quite a bit. I liked some of their content and reviews and retrospectives, especially some of their Zelda retrospectives were actually quite good. I went there quite a bit. And it's also where I was watching, you know, Hey Ash, What You Playing? That's where I discovered that. And, it's too bad. I guess from what I understand, you know, like the video podcast, the video feature, you know, trend has really taken off a bit on different websites. So, you know, I guess it's a bit of competition for them. Or maybe too much competition. I don't know. But that being said, I enjoy what they put out for quite a while there.
Glycinator, how about you? Did you use it at all? I used them for... they usually had the most stable E3 feeds when we were trying to watch that
do the
E3 show.
Yep, that's true too.
I remember I watched game trailers a lot back when Screw Attack was a big thing.
Yeah, Screw Attack, man, I remember that.
That must have been back in like 2006, 2007.
Screw Attack's still big, but they're just not...
They're still, I mean, but like that was like the prime, like...
Right.
Prime time for them.
Right.
And so they would do a lot of collaborations, and like you said, for E3 stuff, I mean, I would watch all the presses through game trailers. They were the only ones that ever worked. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw a lot of people after this talking about, oh, it's the corporations that own them now. Oh, media's muzzled and all this shit, including my pal Jim. And it's like, you know, or Jim Sterling. Sorry, I won't call him my pal. Oh, God, I offended somebody. Fuck off. I'm going to do that till the end of time. So, you know. Anyway, and it's one of those times I disagree with him and people of that ilk that want to try and shove the whole corporate, let's stop corporate. There's an element of that in this, but part of the problem you have is things like Screw Attack saw that they wanted to branch out, and so they couldn't do that inside game trailers, not because of corporate overlords entirely, but because a lot of people felt that groups like Screw Attack were going to be diluted if they started stepping outside of what they were known for back, like when Glace is talking about, you know, 5-6 years ago. And so they said, damn, bugger it. You know, they got out of their contract. Screw Attack works with Full Screen now. I think they're actually affiliated with Rooster Teeth because Full Screen has, like, Rooster Teeth, the Mega 64 guys, and Screw Attack, Funhouse, which was some of, I think, Mega 64 and Screw Attack that went indie on their own. And, well, sure, the fact that the corporations own them and there's probably, you probably have to answer more to editors and advertisers and marketers does play a part. That's not the reason these guys are even going independent. They just want the same things I've experienced in my life where I don't want to have anybody above me. It has nothing to do with corporations. It has to do with either succeed or fail, you want to do it on your own. And so that's why guys like Game Over Greggy, Greg, fuck, what's his last name, John? You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not sure.
Maybe you didn't. Greg Miller. That's why Greg Miller used to be with IGN, the McElroys, all those guys have gone indie, quote-unquote, because they just want to do their own shit. And they want to be their own bosses, which is a great thing to have once you have the name to do it with. You know, the part where I agree with the anti-corporate crowd is the corporations want more and more and more and more profit from these guys year over year. And that's not going to happen. The internet goldmine or boom state, just like with dot-coms, is over. And so these companies and corporations and even independent websites need to understand that maintaining profitability, period, is what they should be focusing on. If you're making a profit, be happy about it. But this era of everybody, you know, making money hand over fist is done. And again, where I agree with the anti-corporate people, and there's some sites I don't even use anymore. I'm looking at you, GamesRadar. Cramming more ads into the body of posts is not going to increase your revenue. It's going to make me stop using your website or turn on an ad blocker, which I refuse to do. But I'm getting closer by the day, you know.
Back in the day, did they used to have, did game trailers host the Angry Video Game Nerd back when that was a big thing?
Was he ever with game trailers? I don't.
He started on YouTube and then Screw Attack picked him up, but.
Oh, maybe it was Screw Attack, yeah.
And then he has Cinemassacre right now.
Yes, that's right. And I know that much, but I thought... I'm just trying to think of the old shows that or features I used to watch on that. And it was definitely the retrospectives at first, and then I watched them, like, I won't call it a Let's Play, but they'd show some different things for different games, like previews and
well, reviews. They do almost like video strategy guides. It's not so much a walkthrough or a Let's Play, but just more tips.
Yeah.
And tricks, which is nice. Because some of the YouTube crowd doesn't get that I don't need a 15 to 20 minute tutorial starting with from when you first logged into the game to building the thing I need to know how to build.
Yeah.
And doing a 5 minute intro where you thank everybody from your mailman to your mother. I don't need that, dudes.
And screaming at every little thing that happens in the goddamn game. I don't need, that's the stuff that Peter likes to watch, some of these Let's Plays like that, and man. It is enough to think of the TV at the window.
He likes that Cartman motherfucker. That it would be part of the reason why I don't like that dude, but you cannot deny it sells.
Oh, of course it does, and it appeals to his age set. But it's just some of the it's like FGTV or like Family Gaming TV.
Yeah.
That crowd, all they do is scream, and that dad, all he does is yell, and then just God. Shut up. Just play the damn game and tell me about it rather than yell at me. But Peter's like, this is the best. This is the greatest.
Yeah, the only one that gets a pass for me on YouTube these days, and even then I go in like streaks with him, is Jacksepticeye. Mm-hmm. He's an Irishman. Somehow, because he's got an Irish accent, it doesn't bug me as much. But I have tried repeatedly, because I don't understand the cultural phenomenon around it, to watch PewDiePie's videos. I get 2 minutes in, and I'm wanting to throw a monitor. And it's not his, it's his fault because he talks that way. But it's not, I'm not his demographic. I'm just rational enough to recognize that. And wish him well, and I'm honestly happy for the dude, even as much as I call him that Cartman motherfucker and that Cartman ripoff, because that's kind of what he sounds like. He sounds like Cartman on crystal meth, to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Peter had a phase with him, but it kind of petered out. Pardon the pun.
Right, but if some device you have in your house is subscribed to his channel, he's making money off of that.
Yes,
to a point. I mean, that's the other debate currently going on with YouTube. Because remember, Glaze, did you hear the part where we talked about YouTube Reacts last week?
Did I what?
Did you listen? Did you
get? Yeah, I listened to the whole thing. Yeah.
Were you much of a fan of being a younger guy? And I'm not picking on you because you're the younger guy. It's just the fact. Were you much into the Fine Brothers React stuff?
I mean, I watched them like when they would do like a grand Tough Auto thing, or I don't really subscribe to people on YouTube. Like,
I know
I'm one of those people that just gets on YouTube, and if there's something trending, then I'll watch it.
Ah, yeah. See, they're trying to figure out a way to make money off of you. I have to watch quite a bit of content before I subscribe to somebody. Now, I will subscribe to people who follow me on Twitter if they stick around. If they don't just drive by advertised to me, which I also bitched about last week. I think I may have mentioned that. I did tweet a couple times this week. I may have made fun of that very fact. I can't remember now. But I'm sure Roger will tell me. But anyway, Roger is like our fact checker at this point. Super fan and fact checker is essentially what he's become, because he has an encyclopedia knowledge for our garbage, and God bless him for it.
I think it's the proper word is bullshit detector.
I'd like fact checker. Let me have my delusions. You're absolutely 100% correct when I'm staying with my delusions. You know what? I don't care if your podcast gets 2 people listening to it or 2 billion. You have a guy like that, and that's great. It's actually more helpful than annoying almost all the time, even if you don't necessarily like what he's saying. Like when he busted you about the ad thing. Because I totally forgot about it until he said it. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember John and I having that discussion. I think it was a 2-man show that time too. But, I mean, the reason I ask, Lace, is if you were more of a fan of it. Knowing you, that concept of what's trending on Twitter or whatever, or excuse me, not Twitter, YouTube or whatever they put in your "Hey, you may like this" segment, that sounds very correct to me for you. But
yeah, and if there's something that interests me when I click on that video, like to want me to go explore more of their stuff, then I would do that for multiple channels, you know. Like it's a good way to get an entry into a channel trending, whatever. Oh, you like this, you can look at some more stuff. If not, then whatever.
Well, that's the other thing for me, and I'm curious about with you guys, and of course, John, with Peter, it's probably not as critical a thing, but for me personally, I'm not going to watch anybody that takes themselves too seriously, and I'm not going to watch anybody that can't laugh when they fuck up. Even the hardcore, good shooter gamers that I watch, like Jack Frags and Sacriel to a point, Frankie, you know, those guys have a blast. And they laugh a lot, and they laugh when they fuck up. They're not screaming. They're not, you know, genuinely screaming. They're not calling other people noobs, accusing them of hacking. And that's, whether it's a shooter game, whether it's a survival game, whether it's the game we shall not name, the ability to laugh at yourself, the ability to have fun is a key element if I'm going to subscribe to you. It, you know, if you take this shit too seriously, I don't care if you're making money on it or not, because a lot of those guys I named do make a fair few dollars on it, if nothing else to pay for licensing and all that stuff. I'm not going to take you seriously. That's why I still like a lot of Rooster Teeth content. They've gotten more professional, more business-like, but they're still a bunch of goofs. And that's going to draw me in. If you see who I subscribe to, it's a lot of goofy motherfuckers. But that's the thing. If you're good at a game, that should be the prime time to be able to laugh at yourself. You know, you know, because you're already kicking ass. So when fuck-ups happen, or just showing goofs and bloopers and things like that, of that nature, you know. Because I watch a lot of those guys for Counter-Strike Global Offensive, because I was telling AJK, he plays MOBAs for his foray into the toxic portions of the internet. I play Counter-Strike. Because you want to talk about it. Glace, I'll need your help here. You want to talk about probably two of the most toxic communities on planet internet. It's the MOBA community, especially League of Legends, and it's Counter-Strike Global Offensive. I've been called things by kids anywhere between 10 and 15 that I never, ever thought I'd hear for one, and I've never, ever heard when I'm playing COD or Battlefield.
That's all that Michael does now, or younger brother does now, so.
I thought about joining him in a match just to troll him. I've seen him a couple times. Because I'll play some, I'm assuming he plays ranked competitive.
Yeah,
where you're terrorists and then counter-terrorists. It's like best of 20 rounds or best of 30 rounds. Yeah, I play a little bit of that, but I usually can only take like two matches before I'm weeping for humanity at the stuff I'm being called in either text or over the mic. It's definitely not for everyone. Have you ever tried it, Glace, on his machine?
Those games?
Counter-Strike. Not MOBAs. I don't play MOBAs either.
I'm not allowed to touch that thing. So.
Oh, I thought you had been allowed to touch that thing.
I did it without him letting, without his permission, but he's on it all the time now, so.
I think you would be really, really good at Counter-Strike.
Ugh. I mean, I've watched people play it. It's just so repetitive.
Again, it depends on the team you get into. I'd like to find a team of another three guys that have the same goofy sense of humor I do and are okay with win some, lose some. I think that's almost impossible in a Counter-Strike community, but Glace is not wrong, though. And that's where the bulk of getting you get yelled at or called foul offensive names, John, is when you do stuff incorrectly. You throw a flashbang wrong. You throw a smoke grenade at the wrong time. You plant the bomb at the wrong time. Because the part of the problem is, though, Glace, you could fuck with the way that rolls. Is every time I'm a terrorist, if I've got the bomb, I run immediately to whatever one the fuckheads aren't sitting on, and I plant the bomb. And you know what? We win every time. Yet my team continues to scream at me because that's not when you plant the bomb. But there's a timer. There's a 40-second timer on the bomb. And by the time they figure out that you planted it 10 seconds into the match and that they fucked up and rushed one of the, you know, you have 2 points, A and B, and they rushed A, so I go run to B immediately and plant the bomb. I've yet to lose a competitive match when I do that. But all these players that play the game the way all the pros play it get pissed because that's not how you do it. You gotta wait, you gotta be tactical, you gotta throw flashbangs. And the fact that I haven't been banned from Counter-Strike or turned in for cheating when I'm not cheating is actually pretty impressive. it's definitely for younger people, and it's just one of those niche ones, like a League of Legends or a Smite MOBA. I never thought about that, though, Glace, of it being repetitive. I don't play it often enough to get repetitive, but I guess you'd want some longevity out of it if you were actually going to put some time into it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you look at a video of someone playing Counter-Strike, it's the same map. They're doing the same thing, planting the bomb. It's just like, I could just go play laser tag.
Well, you know, that's where some of the YouTubers don't do a good job of marketing for the game. Because all they ever show you, the only maps they show you is Dust 2 and Nuke. In reality, if I play more than, like, if I play four full matches, which by the end of it, I'm wanting to take my own life because it's just too much freaking harassment. You should not be even slightly offendable when you play Counter-Strike. That's the message you really should be walking away with here. Because I don't get offended, and I've come close with some of the things that I've been called. In fact, I will give you one. The cleanest one I can give you is, you guys know that my username on Steam is Origim, or O-R-I-G-I-M, my fucked up spelling of Orgrim. Some dude told me that My username is misspelled. It should have been orgasm, like the one my dad should have had against the wall instead of in my mother.
Oh, damn.
That was an actual insult shot at me by somebody who was probably 13.
Oh, shots fired. Oh, man. You got wrecked.
Jeez. I gave him an A+ because it shut
He's
me up.
He's got to leave the game after that.
Oh, no. See, that's the thing. They want you to leave after that. But I've been at this a long fucking time.
It is a freaking ace. Jesus.
Oh, wow. I was impressed. That is dirty. That is foul. I noticed John hasn't even keyed his mic at this point. But...
yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, that was the one I will tell on this show. And there's not much I usually don't say. There was worse than that, not shot at me. Yeah, if I'd been thinking about it, I thought about saying shots fired and nothing else, Glaze. But the best way, and you know this, the best way to handle a troll like that is just don't say anything. I was literally sitting here going, holy crap. So I played three more rounds. And that's the thing. Here's the most fucked up part about it, John. That guy was on my team. We won that match. Somehow I ended up with the idiot again, or they just transferred us over to the next map. We won that match too. And yet, because I threw one flashbang wrong and it landed at his feet, pro tip, it wasn't thrown wrong. I was sick and tired of him bitching in text. And that's the other thing. A lot of times they'll type rather than speak over the mic. Because what happens is if you speak over your mic, the enemy team can hear you. So you will give yourself away. And so he's typing in text, pissing and moaning about this, that, and the other thing. And there's a spot in one of those maps where you throw a flashbang over a roof to land in one of the bomb areas. I just kind of underthrew it. Didn't flash me, but it flashed him in the alley behind me. So I'm not saying I didn't earn that screaming. I'm just saying he was a bigger dick than I was. Mm-hmm. He did something to deserve it before I did it. Yeah, I've probably had my fill of Counter-Strike. No, but what I was going to say, Glaze, is I did play four rounds here two nights ago, right? The first round was Dust 2, because it's always Dust 2. The next three rounds were maps you've never seen, and they were all fun maps. But the entire time, everybody's bitching, because it's a map they don't know, so they don't know how to, all the ins and outs, and a place where you can wallbang people, which is shoot through the walls, and the bullet will actually go through, you know. But there are more maps, and people do play them, but everybody has their best games on Dust or Nuke or Inferno, so that's what they put on YouTube. It's pathetic. But yeah, I never thought about the repetitive thing, like I said. Yeah, Counter-Strike Global Offensive. I don't know. I was talking to AJK. He said he's heard worse than Smite, and he's never lied to me, so I'm going to take his word for it. But wasn't playing off my old school username. The funny thing is, I was thinking about changing all my Orgym usernames to Bruce McGee finally, and maybe I won't. More creative insulting. Okay, let's see. That's really all I had. I didn't put walking into a tangent on Counter-Strike. That's what I had. When I said game trailer shut down, John, I had in parentheses in my notes, I got that creeping on Twitter, meaning, you know, I never post, because I didn't know about it until I saw somebody talked about it on Twitter. What was I going to say? It seemed like... oh, that was the other thing. And we're going to do a talk. I got two more things that just cropped in my head. One's going to be more Glaze-specific, and then one's going to be more John-specific. First one, the Glaze-specific one. I've seen some straw polls, again, done by YouTubers, and seen some other people that I know either casually or a little better than that. And I'm not sure the next Battlefield's going to be in World War II. But there's a lot of people wanting to go back to World War II again. In fact, there's a game on Kickstarter called Something 1944 that's attempting to get out of probably multiplayer only World War II game. Have we just discovered, Glaze, the life cycle of genres?
I think so. I mean, I don't have any problems with the new Battlefields, but I mean, I think setting-wise, they've gotten kind of cookie-cutter in a way. You know, you have a forest map, you have a desert map, you have a city map. You know, there's a formula to it. And I think the settings that you get in a World War II themed game are just so much better than making up things. I don't know.
So are you saying that you would be, let's say that Battlefield, I'm thinking it's not going to be because they're stupid and think they need to compete with COD. Let's say Battlefield 5 is World War II. Are you more likely to get it for Xbox One if it is World War II, than say another. We know the Holy Grail for you and I is another Bad Company. They're not going to do that because
they should do Bad Company prequel in World War II.
Like their grandfathers?
Their grandfathers. That would sell so well. That would sell so well.
I would pre-order the collector's edition if they did that.
You know, like how like in the Bad Company 1, they're trying to find the gold? It's like this when they're trying to find like Nazi gold, like Indiana Jones style. Man, this would sell amazing.
Well, they did kind of cut to the prologue for Bad Company 2 was set in World War II. Remember that.
From two? Was it set in World War II?
Well, no, the prologue. Remember the big evil weapon you got to go chase around and get?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that was a Japanese weapon. Spoilers. What? Spoilers on like a, what, 7-year-old game? 10-year-old game?
That they should totally do that.
I'm not kidding. If there's anybody from DICE Sweden or EA or DICE LA listening to this podcast, I will buy the $100+ collector's edition if you make it Battlefield Bad Company prequel set in World War II. I will. You have it's down on digital file 2/11/2016. And these guys and the listening audience will hold my feet to the fire. I will spend the money. If it's not going to happen, is the reason I feel pretty comfortable in saying that. But back to the point, barring a proper Bad Company game, which Pat didn't really like the humor, but he seemed to enjoy the multiplayer with us. But everybody else I talked to, or his Battlefield fans, really would be on board with that. So would you be more likely just to buy a World War II version, kind of reboot the whole genre?
I think so. I mean, because, I mean, like I said, setting-wise, there's not really a huge difference anymore between Call of Duty and Battlefield now. Like I said, you have your desert and jungle whatever maps, and they kind of feel sort of, like not cookie-cutter, but just bland. Like, not anything, they don't really have any feeling to them, you know.
The standard Battlefield 4, you're right, but the DLC maps, I gotta tell you.
I'm talking about standard.
Okay, well, all I was gonna say was, I found it funny. I bought all the DLC as a package, right? Because it already come out. But every map pack would have been one I'd have paid $4.99 for. They did a really good job with it. But you're right. The standard, very cookie cutter.
So, yeah, I would consider buying a World War II themed one.
There is one wrinkle that I want your answer on. But, John, is this rebooting a genre? Do we now know the lifespan of a genre? Like, you know, the shooter futuristic, almost Halo-like crap has run its course, and we're going back to the future.
Everything is old is new again, man.
You get what I'm saying, though, right? Totally. This seems like the life cycle. Mm-hmm. We've seen a full cycle for one genre.
Yeah, this must be what you know, like it's coming around full circle. I mean, it must be what it is if there's that much demand. I mean, I guess last year or the year before were a lot of side-scrolling platformers. You know, I mean, they had a break for a while. Next up, maybe 3D platformers again. I don't know. And World War II shooters.
Oh, my God. If we had two good 3D platformers and Battlefield Bad Company grandfathers announced at E3, Gleisner would just explode. He'd be a pair of shoes and a pair of glasses.
Pretty well.
He'd explode happy, but that would be like your perfect gaming scenario, wouldn't it?
What all things did you say?
3D platformers, good ones.
Yes. Yes. And a Battlefield Bad Company. Ukulele is coming out. So.
And a Battlefield Bad Company of some type.
Yeah. It doesn't take a lot to please me. That's the thing. Just no one wants to do it because it's so strange.
Here's my problem, at least with the Kickstarter one, and I apologize I didn't look up the name because this show, I don't necessarily endorse Kickstarters, even though I do back some from time to time. And we really don't care one way or the other. And it was like last Friday's when I saw the little blurb on it. But my problem I'm seeing with the one that's on Kickstarter, Gleason, this ties in nicely to what you're talking about with the blandness. It looks like they're going to do the same four towns again. They're going to go the same place as all the old CODs and Medal of Honors went. You know, it's going to be like Carentan again and Normandy again and, you know, Wake Island again. Of course, if you didn't play Battlefield 1943, you probably don't hate Wake Island as much as I do. Well, the only thing that upsets me about that is World War II was massive. You know, like the original Battlefield 1942 went to North Africa. Like some of those maps were based there. Now, granted, Glace, that is kind of a generic desert map. But they set it up, like, I think it was Tobruk was the battle that they were following. And it was pretty historically accurate how the team started and what you covered and what you had to go through. That's my problem with bringing back the World War II. Everybody's taking it from the angle of, oh, I'd love to see what Carentan would look like in true 1920 by 1080 HD. And it's like, no.
It would be cool to see the invasion of Sicily and then up through Italy. I don't think I can recall a game that's done that.
Again, the original Battlefield did, but that was, believe it or not, and so was Battlefield 2. I'm showing off my hypocrite status here. There was no single player. The single player was versus bots. But they had an expansion pack, not DLC, an expansion pack. I forget what the hell it was called, but it was basically the invasion of Anzio and a couple other things from the Italian campaign. That said, it was not, there was no depth or real longevity to it. It was just maps. So they could easily do, some better stuff. And they covered a few of the Japanese campaigns in COD World at War, also known as COD Japanese Grenade Spam for the single player portion of that. Oh, it was, dude. You'd throw one grenade in the AI Japanese would throw like 37 at your feet with pinpoint accuracy. I've never been blown up by nade spam that bad in a multiplayer match, let alone single player. I still finished the campaign though. But that would be my only gripe, was let's not just do an HD remake of some of the older Call of Duties and Battlefields. Let's find some other battles, even if they're obscure and nobody's gonna know. You know, you could do, like, Operation Market Garden, too, even though that didn't work out too well for the Allies. You could probably find some stuff there. You could find a lot of stuff. Although, Glace, and this is the last thing, and then I want to ask you something, John, because I saw you mention it. It seemed like you were super... You had an opinion about this event. Okay, so you can have Bad Company, or you can have World War II, or you could have the sequel to 2143, because that's the other neck-and-neck rumor, is because of some of the Easter eggs that are in Battlefield 4, including a tiny little mech, and hover tanks in the Final Stand DLC. I hate hover tanks. You didn't want to talk about, you think roadkill, being roadkill in the Little Bird's bad? Being roadkill by a hover tank blows. Now, with that dilemma, which would you rather have? World War II again, or a sequel to 2143?
Ooh. Does Titan mode come back?
Given what the Easter eggs are maybe rumoring, because, spoilers for a four-year-old game at this point, toward the end of the Final Stand DLC, you attack some warehouses where it looks like the first mechs are being made. And there literally is. You'd have to find it on YouTube. I've only seen it once. There's a rock on one of the maps where you can find one of the little Titans from Titan mode, except it's miniature. And it's just sitting randomly on a rock. DICE put a lot of Easter eggs in Battlefield 4. It's actually pretty impressive. I haven't seen all of them actually in-game, but some of them you kind of need to be on a server where people aren't trying to shoot you in the face. So, yes, I would say Titan mode's probably a safe bet.
I really like Titan mode.
I'm torn, too, because 2143 I played, but that was during the time period where I was living in places without the greatest of the internet, so I didn't get to play 2143 a lot. So I'm torn between Back to the Front, as in World War II, or a 2143 sequel and have to listen to COD heads scream about how you're just ripping off COD again, even though Battlefield did it first. Tough decision, isn't it? I'm definitely... EA is not going to be at E3, but they are doing a press conference in that same time frame. I'm actually genuinely interested what Battlefield's going to be this time around for the first time since Bad Company 2. So, we'll have to see. John, your thing that's more specific to you, and Glace, you can just do animal sounds or snoring, because this one I don't think you're going to have any opinion on. Do you think that the Daniel Bryan retirement is actually a retirement? Because
yes.
Pat and I were talking about this, and both of us, we've been... messed with too many times, him and I. And I am speaking for him. Pat, you can comment somewhere if I'm not speaking accurately. You could be the bullshit detector. Because I sent him a friendly little jab, because we all know he's not a... He doesn't hate Daniel Bryan, but he's not a big fan of him either. I've sent him a friendly little jab about this, you know, because like I said, both of us have been fooled by this tactic a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But you do think it's for real, for good, for honest, nothing.
No, I don't think it's a work is what the word that they use. I think it's legitimate. I think it's up there with a guy like Edge who died. He didn't die. Christ, oh my God. He retired. He retired because of his severe neck injury. And when he retired, he retired. I think the same thing is true with Daniel Bryan. I mean. Would he take the risk to go work somewhere else and wrestle? Up until recently, I think that was the case. He wanted to go, and what I read online, he actually asked for his release, and they didn't give it to him. You know, like, if they wanted to just sit out his contract and let it expire, and then he can go on and do what he wants, I think they would have done that. They did that with Rey Mysterio himself, who's still active, but he's wrestling somewhere else. You know, they made him sit out his whole contract, you know, because of time they felt that was due to them because of how much time he was off injured. You know, to me, like, I had hoped that it was a work. You know, I had hoped he'd come out wearing a salmon colored jacket and tried to fool us all the way Mark Henry did his little, you know, fake retirement speech that he did a couple years ago. But This smells different. This smells like a legit thing. The fact that they call it a retirement and not just let it, you know, pass on its own, I think. And I mean, Daniel Bryan is the kind of guy who I find comes. With that speech, he certainly comes across as very genuine. Anyway, at the best of times, I think this was a real deal.
Here's the thing I wonder about. I'm taking it as legitimate because I saw the post. Raw, I won't say fallout, but him appearing talking about concussions and stuff, a la Chris, what's his face?
Nowinski.
Edge was basically given an ultimatum.
He was, yes.
Because
one more bump and he could be a paraplegic or quadriplegic.
Right, he has what Peyton Manning has and probably why Peyton Manning's going to retire too. Oh, spoilers on that if you hadn't already figured it out. He plays another year, he's an idiot. You know, he has spinal stenosis, and that is legitimately, you do not know from everything I've researched on it, you do not know how your neck is going to react to any kind of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be to the head, you know. And so, while fusion gets you some places, which is the route Peyton Manning went, it still is no guarantee. The more I've read up on spinal stenosis and other nerve and bone issues with the neck vertebrae, the more I'm amazed that the gamble Peyton Manning decided to take. Now, while he's not diving headfirst into people, part of Edge's problem with his finisher,
yes,
he still took an incredible risk. Point is, I have not heard Daniel Bryan say anywhere, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, that a doctor has flat out told him, you know, so on and so forth and such like. If you're a competitor or if you're an entertainer, it's much easier to waffle. And I'm not criticizing that at all. I'm just saying it's much easier to get the itch again when you've not been given an ultimatum that your life could be over or you could be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of your life. You know, mm-hmm. Things, pretty severe consequences. And I say that because I don't think any medical professional at this point, even as much as we're finding out about head trauma and CTE, can give that diagnosis and be safe from liability. Unfortunately, to me, with CTE, we have to find a way to be able to study it without the patient being deceased.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what I've read now, I mean, how much of that is accurate, take it with a grain of salt, but what I've read was Daniel Bryan was taken off, last year he was taken off the schedule you know, for tests due to concussions. And up to, I'll say, even as early as recently as January, apparently a couple of doctors, like two, maybe even three doctors, had cleared Daniel on his issues and that he could return to wrestling. And the only doctor who was still saying no was Dr. Maroon, I think his name is the WWE's concussion guy, and to the point where Daniel was, you know, wanting to get out of his contract so he could go to Ring of Honor or Japan or somewhere to continue to work if you know Vince and company wouldn't let him. So, apparently what he said in his farewell speech was true. That apparently, you know, that very recently he had another test that confirmed he had some kind of lesions on his brain, and then he admitted on ESPN that he had been having seizures that he was hiding from the office that were due to concussions. So I think something is, I don't know exactly what it is, but I think something is definitely up, that this has to happen, or else I just don't see him doing it. Now, I mean, I can't say that with 100% certainty. I'm not there, or, you know, nor are you guys. But it's just one of those. I get that air that it's a legit, you know, retirement. I'm done. Not like Ric Flair, I'm retiring. Oh, then I pop up in TNA because I need to pay my alimony, or Mick Foley, who can just not stay away. You know, I think this one is legit.
Well, like I said, I do too. I probably should have thrown that in there somewhere. I think the guy's actually looking out for his health, his future health.
Yeah, his family, his first family too, I think.
Right. And, you know, he's still a youngish guy, but he's been in the business a long time. People forget that because he just pops up on...
16 years, I think, is what he said he's been wrestling for.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The first match I ever saw with him was in Japan as American Dragon in 2002. I think it was American Dragon. Did I get that right?
Yep.
His mask character. Okay, so it was American Dragon. But anyway, and obviously he was probably wrestling before that. That's just my first memory of him. I absolutely support his decision. I think my reason for bringing up the part about it calling to you is, as human beings, when you're not given 100% severe consequences for an action, everything has a temptation level. Is my only curiosity to it, or only, you know, would be concern of. Personally, I think if he's having those, any of the issues pointed out anywhere, then yeah, you need to give it up and go home, and hopefully you've, you know, saved your money. I mean, it's happening in the NFL right now. You have Calvin Johnson, who's only 30, supposedly going to retire. Marshawn Lynch, same deal, because of broken down body. And it's just, it's a culture change. People are going, okay, this is, things I'm doing are pretty violent. You know, maybe I'll quit doing them 10 years sooner than you would have 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And hoping for better quality of life. And if that's the case, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, you're losing superstars, and I know with Brian, it's debatable. Saying that for a few people, and myself, I was never 100,000% sold as him as a top tier guy, as an outsider looking in, mostly because the WWE wouldn't let him wrestle the way I know he's capable of. But it also gives opportunities for other people to come in and try and do their thing. You know what I'm saying? It's that earlier turnover is not necessarily a bad thing. There's always going to be a new sucker to make money on.
Yeah. I mean, from a selfish point of view, you know, in terms of my entertainment, it's too bad, because of the guys who are coming up, you know, who are, you know, quote unquote indie darlings, like Sami Zayn, who was El Generico, and Owens, and these guys who are around now, and Finn Balor, and Kenta is down there, you know, Hideo Itami and stuff, Austin Aries, like all these guys that were putting on amazing matches back in Ring of Honor. Samoa Joe is there. Like, if these guys trickled their way into the main roster and Brian had been around, man, like some of the matchups on a big stage would have been quite something. Again, that's a selfish thing for me to say, but it is too bad that we'd never see that kind of stuff. It's just on the cusp of some really interesting, fresh matchups.
Well, my liking to aggravate Pat aside, because he really did not believe in Brian's main event push, my problem with it, and where I agree with Pat, is he never had the right opponent. And these guys you're talking about would have been the right opponent.
Yeah,
WWE's,
I mean,
he's always going to have that problem with guys like Brian being pushed to the next level, because Vince doesn't want to give them the type of opponents or opponent pool to make them look like top tier guys. The way he was presented, even to me, John, and I like that guy a lot, he didn't really look like a top tier talent. The way WWE presents their top tier talent.
Yes.
But that's the day Vince is in the ground and buried, it might change. Until then, you're stuck with it. How many guys are you losing out on having really good, slick, smart runs that the Smarks actually could lose their shit over? I mean, and them losing their shit over him was over the top too much. I mean, you got to kind of, you as a big fan of him had a reality base to it, which I appreciated, because, you know, some people just lost their shit.
Yeah.
During that time period. But I'm about people living good, healthy quality of life as they get older. And if that's going to do that for him, then I wish him the best. And I hope, if he hasn't been given an ultimatum, that he can resist the temptation. Because one of the saddest cases in professional wrestling to me is Mick. Because I'm not convinced he needed the money, and he just kept coming back when his body was already just a wreck, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, well, Mick is currently, I mean, he's still on the road doing his one-man comedy shows.
Right.
And I mean, he's, from what I understand, he's really finding it hard to walk around. You know, I think I read a thing where he's got a busted bone in his hips that a doctor told him, I don't know how you managed to damage that area. And, like, that's not where anybody, you know, damages their hips. And he said, well, it's because of jumping off ring aprons onto concrete floors for, you know, 20 odd years.
Right.
High impact stuff. And yeah, he's finding it very difficult to get around. God, yeah. I think he's got a good heart, but, you know, he really didn't need to do as much as he tried to do in the later stages.
Well, one of the things I will credit him for, I say it's a sad case because of his health now. He's never complained about it. He's never said, why me? He's never blamed.
No.
You know, that I can live with, because one thing I love, Charles Barkley said this, you know what, I limp. I had to have a hip replacement surgery, but every night I go home to a big old house with lots of cars. And so every last minute of it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, because to a certain extent, not entirely, but to a certain extent, a lot of things these guys brought upon themselves they had a responsibility in. And so I'm fine with giving sympathy in this and that, but you have the opportunity, no matter the culture, no matter the tough guy image, to do what Daniel Bryan's doing. And so while I respect what he's doing, you also have to accept that you could, you know, you could walk away at any time, short of financial, obviously, but still, even then, you know, walking and remembering your kids' names at 65 is probably better working at Walmart than it is. You know what I mean? I mean, there's just, I think we need to change the culture a little bit too in some of these sports and entertainment endeavors, that it's not a big deal to walk away. I think it's starting to happen in the NFL. Which is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because every stupid thing, even in my little, tiny, tiny, minuscule, obscure, amateur level of sports competition, any dumb thing I've done to my body that I'm paying for now, I accept wholeheartedly. Because, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. For memories, for fun, for everything that I got an opportunity to do and places I got opportunities to see. You know, it is what it is. And one final thing. We're running a little late, but one final thing, Glaze, so you actually get to say something. Does all of this talk, like what John and I are talking about, and more applied to all sports, the CTE stuff, the head injury stuff, to you as somebody who's a casual fan of sport, I would say, does it concern you at all? Does it make you less likely to watch sports? Does any of this filter into your life, this discussion of CTE and bodies breaking down and all that?
I mean, I don't think I'll stop watching the NFL, but I mean, it's definitely concerning at more at the high school level.
Yeah.
I mean, more towards my age and college sports as well. I mean, because I almost got put on the football team. I don't know how that happened, but at my school is not known for its sports, so they try to get anyone they can get. So, yeah. You know, and then Michael was on his football team in middle school. He actually played. He was a linebacker. So
I could see him doing really well at that.
Yeah.
He has the right mentality for it.
I mean, I saw the Will Smith movie and all that, but I mean, I think it's a lot scarier the younger you go when you realize you're starting those injuries at such a young age, you know.
Well, and part of the problem, my only problem with the Will Smith movie, or that guy's concussion study, is while we need to ring alarm bells and start to change the culture, like, I don't think kids under the age of probably 10 or 12 should be playing full tackle football. Maybe even towards 15, 16, like JV high school. We're getting a little too alarmist about it. And I'm getting a little concerned that we're rushing to a conclusion without enough full scientific understanding and research. And my problem is that guy that was behind the concussion study, I hope he's continuing to do research with a scientific base and mind, and anybody else doing it. Because once you start to add money into it, and once you start to add political aspects to it, that's when pure scientific research tends to go out the window. And to me, the most important thing is fuck the NFL and their concerns, fuck politicians and their concerns. Finding out what causes this, how we can prevent it, how we can change it, you know, in a rational way is the goal. And I'm hoping that's continuing. You know what you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that way too? Or do we need to make, maybe I'm missing something, we need to make drastic. I mean, I totally agree that some of these little kids tackling, especially probably in your region of the country, it should stop happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rough down here. You know, yeah. But I mean, the NFL has made new rules and stuff, like, you know, roughing the passer rules and whatnot. And, like, you have to go out a play after your helmet falls off and stuff. And so I think stuff like that is better. It's on the right track, you know. You just need to be more aware of it. I mean, you always have your diehard fans who are like, oh, it's not real football anymore. You know, it's like that South Park episode with the, is there a Castaball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, you have to take precautions in anything you do. You know, that's just living.
That's the other thing some people are missing the point on is there's an element of risk in everything you do. You can't stay 100% intact and safe your entire life unless you just live indoors. And even then, your indoors could catch fire. You know, you're never going to eliminate all risk. My biggest concern, and to maybe both of you will find this interesting, and then we're done. The NFL is trying to do research for all their teams, because they're the NFL, and you can't have underinflated helmets. And that's not going to get them anywhere. I think, to me, as somebody who comes from a more extreme sport / sort of racing background, you need to look at the helmets, and you need to figure out a way to make those better. And having the NFL do that on its own, and instead of letting the 31 teams work on their own and then submit them to the NFL as a mistake. Because the one great thing about auto racing is when deaths have happened, like Dale Earnhardt's way back in 2001, that was a conglomerate of teams and individuals and companies working together to make head and neck safety better inside the cockpit of a race car. It could be banjo banging NASCAR or champagne drinking Formula One. It doesn't matter. They all really worked. And so now in racing, at least, helmets are better. They have head and neck restraints. They have all kinds of things that aren't going to eliminate the risk, like you were talking about, Glaze. And I think the NFL needs to take that approach of getting as many people working on it as possible in a controlled setting to, you know, with some final approval and oversight. And I'm still of the opinion that helmet, head and neck wear is something that can be improved. I don't care how many of these knucklehead former players or players say, oh, no, helmets won't change a damn thing. You only got to look at auto racing to see that's bullshit. You know, I mean, I can remember the first helmets I wore when I first had a motorcycle or ATV or BMX bike compared to the helmets I got sitting on the shelf to my left today. I'll take the ones I got today, thanks very much. They're really pretty good. All right, gents. That kind of wandered, but I liked it. Hope you guys did, too. If that's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. We'll get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. If you'd like to get in touch with us about anything we talked about this week, we have a ton of ways you can do that. We have a Twitter, and we have a Facebook. It's all WonderPod Online. Maybe there's a dash in there. Maybe there's not. Just search WonderPod Online, and you'll find us. Trust me. We have a website. It's wonderpodonline.com, wonderpodonline.com. Mostly the podcast being posted there, but I can tell you that within the next couple weeks, I'm hoping, I'm going to have some new YouTube videos. If you're easily offended or grossed out, you're probably not going to want to watch them. The Forest is an interesting video game, I'll say that much. But when I post the podcast at wonderpodonline.com, we have an embedded player, so if you want to listen to it on a web browser, you can. If you like the download type stuff, we're on iTunes and archive.org. Just search WonderPod. Archive.org is also the best place to get everything we've ever done. We have YouTube channels. Glacinator's got one. I've got one. The 36Wii YouTube channel. The What Chris Does YouTube channel. The Olivia Made This YouTube channel. I got those right this week. The WonderPod Online YouTube channel. I try to get that one in first and I always forget. It's got older stuff. Plenty of content to go watch. If none of that works, we got an email address. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm there, I promise. @ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter.
@JohnKehoe. JohnKehoe.
Until episode 286, I'm not going to be drinking a lot of Budweiser. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.